Actually, the truth of our existence is really quite simple. It is only our arrogance that complicates things. It's our arrogant rebellions that complicate things. Think of it like this, from a phenomenological perspective. Okay, that means from your first person experience. Because this is the best approach, because that's all you can ever know anyway. So you might as well just start from there. Start from the only place you can. All right, so you analyze the world. In the ancient times, they simplified it by breaking up the world into categories, the objective world, the physical world, into categories of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Ether being space, the space that all the other physical categories are contained in. Okay, but in today's times, in the modern scientific era, we have broken those categories down into many smaller categories, different chemicals made of atoms. They're all made of the same building blocks, but just different combinations of the subatomic particles. So ultimately, it's all made out of the same stuff, just different combinations. Gives these hundreds or like 100 whatever chemicals they have on the element table these days, you know. They synthesize them, and you know, there's, you know, check the element table of elements, you'll see there's many more than just earth, water, fire, air, and ether, but still all made of the same stuff. And you could easily put all those things into those simplified categories. You could put all those elements into the simplified categories of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And just as a side note, this chemistry has given us things like science, technology, computing, medicine, but it hasn't really itself improved anyone's life. All it's done is just messed with the stuff that life is experienced in, and it may or may not be good for you. You know, you might, let's say your life was saved at 30 years old, you know, because you got a cancer cut out. But then you just turn into the next Adolf Hitler and pissed everyone off, you know. This doesn't guarantee your quality of life or the quality of life of others. Science and medicine itself doesn't guarantee any better quality of life. It just changes the game a little bit, not the overall experience. So, moving on from that side note. From the phenomenological perspective, we study the physical world, the elements, and we try to understand them, but we can never get inside of them. We can never get inside of them. We can only touch them with our consciousness, you know, through our senses, our instruments for investigation, and we can contemplate them, but we can never get inside them. They're objects within our subjectivity, they're objects within our consciousness, but we can never get inside the object. We're always looking at it from the outside, from the phenomenological perspective, from our perspective. So really what we are is a bubble. We're a bubble of consciousness inside of physical stuff. Consciousness is more subtle than matter, than physical stuff. It's being projected in from a higher dimensional reality, which contains the physical things. It's a higher order of importance than the physical stuff. So we're a bubble of consciousness. How do you know that your consciousness is more subtle than matter? Because your consciousness still perceives inside of any of the less subtle elements. So you have earth, and you look at it this way. Water is more subtle than earth, yeah? So water can bubble inside of earth. Fire is more subtle than water. So you can have a fire inside of water, yeah? If it has the things that it needs, you can have a bubble of fire inside of water. Air is more subtle than fire. You can have a bubble of air inside of fire. Mind, thoughts are more subtle than air. You can have a bubble of thoughts inside of air. We have them right now. You know, you're walking around in air and you're thinking. You're walking around in this substance of air, but the air doesn't enter into your mind. You contemplate it, but it's not entering in. You can't enter into the air. You're a bubble of thoughts in this substance. And consciousness is the potential to be aware of something. Consciousness is the awareness of your thoughts. So consciousness is your state of awareness, is a bubble inside of thoughts, even more subtle. So consciousness is the most subtle thing that we that we know from our first person perspective, as in like we can understand from our perspective because it's us. Even we struggle, actually. We really struggle to define it because it's right on par with us. But we can define air. We can define thoughts and air because they're less subtle than us, right? Now, so we got to this point of our pure awareness without even thoughts, a bubble of consciousness. Now you have to ask yourself, how is it that you are conscious? How is it that you exist? How is it that you are aware of stuff? You can't say. You don't know. You can't tell me. You don't actually generate your own existence. You can manipulate the physical world around you to some extent, but you can't generate your own existence. And that's why you also can't die. You can't choose to kill yourself because you didn't make yourself alive. Anyway, that's a side note. You are not the cause of your own existence, your own light of consciousness. Therefore, you are dependent. You are dependent on something more subtle than you. All those physical, less subtle aspects are a result of something more subtle. You know, the physical world is ultimately a manifestation, you know, the energies of something being put there for us to play with and experience because we have desires. So this physical world is provided to us for our desires. It's like a virtual reality, entering into a virtual reality game because we have desires, we want experiences. It's provided to us. It's provided by the same entity that's providing our own ability to be conscious and have free will and choose to look outward or inward. So what is that more subtle entity that is the cause of our light of consciousness? What is that more subtle entity that is generating our existence? That is, in a simple version, that is God. That is God. We think, as materialists, we think, okay, I accept that consciousness is something, even as intelligent materialists, let's say, no, not materialists. Materialists are stupid. They somehow think that the physical stuff creates consciousness. It just doesn't work, no matter how you look at it. You can't use something to explain itself. You can't use atoms to explain atoms. If you say that consciousness is atoms, then you can't say atoms created atoms. It doesn't work. So there's something more subtle. That's consciousness. So that's the idealists. Idealists or impersonalists who don't want to accept a personality, divine being, a personal God, they become impersonal idealists. I would call them intelligent materialists. I still call them materialists because they don't accept the world beyond their consciousness, the world beyond. So they only accept their consciousness and the material world. So I still call them materialists because they're not looking the other way. A materialistic idealist thinks that their consciousness is the highest. And these are the types of people that think, I am it. Because consciousness is universal, everyone's ability to be conscious, even plants and animals as well, the characteristics is the same, but the contents are different, are unique according to individuals and our stories and our desires. But the actual ability to be conscious is universal. Okay, so when people get to that level, they think, oh, I am it. We're all it. We're all that one universal consciousness. We're God. We are it. This is very popular. But we're not it because we only ever experience consciousness from our own little bubble. You only ever experience it from your perspective. You don't know someone else's perspective, so you're not it. You're not them. You only experience it from a little bubble, but this is where the Mayavadis finish. Mayavadis, they say that there's some one divine universal consciousness that comes under illusion and gets separated in order to express itself in forms. You know, it's ultimately formless. And in order for it to have experiences and express itself, it comes under this illusion of separateness, and then you get these little bubbles of consciousness emanating or manifesting in the physical world with the less subtle layers around them. So these are the Mayavadis. But how can they say? This is an arrogant claim. How can you describe something that is more subtle than you, something you're dependent on? You don't get to decide. Also, if they're admitting that there is this divine universal being that comes under illusion, then you're either saying that illusion is superior to that being because that being needs illusion to express itself, or you're saying that being does it because it wants to. That also means it doesn't have to if it doesn't want to, and that opens up the possibility, which they are against, of there being a more subtle spiritual realm with personalities in it. So, they are the Mayavadis. That's their conclusion. But this again is arrogance. This is arrogance. And this is enviousness. Enviousness of wanting to kill God. Really, the case is that there is someone who is, there is something, someone who is superior to us, more subtle than us, and we cannot understand that entity because we are dependent on it to understand anything. Just like atoms cannot understand atoms, individual consciousness, the living entities, the jivas, you and me, the infinite, unique perspectives of consciousness cannot understand the source of all those unique perspectives, those unique positions. The only way to understand that entity is by that entity revealing itself to us. And that entity is God. And God is a person. He has more personal qualities than us. If you feel you are a person, you have desires, then God is an even bigger person because he's manifesting all the individual tiny persons. So must be an even bigger, powerful person with even a more definition of personality, more qualities than we can even conceive of. And the only way to understand that person is to not be arrogant, to be sincere, to sincerely develop a relationship with that person and have that person reveal themselves to you, to us. So this is why arrogance is the key here. We're arrogant, we're proud, we don't want to know. We want to keep it, we want to keep our understanding at a level that where we can be the powerful, we can be the top of the hierarchy. And that's why you have these different stages on the way. Materialists, which are stupid because they're saying that atoms can explain atoms. Then you have the materialistic idealists who say that it's consciousness, it's me, it's it, we're it. I might not be the whole thing, but because I'm it, I still, it's kind of a sneaky way of getting into being God, you know. I'm it. But actually, you're just a bubble of it, and you don't understand what is more subtle than you. If you are more subtle than you're more subtle than the physical elements and your mental state, your thoughts, your mind. You are consciousness, but you can't explain how you manifested yourself. So there's something more subtle than you that's projecting you, manifesting you, and that is God. That is the Supreme Person. First of all, you have the Paramatma, the Super Self. And the Super Self is like the Paramatma is like a mobile phone tower projecting your signal into the smartphone so that someone can look at you, talk to you through video call, even though you're not actually there. So that's what our bodies are like in the material world. Our bodies are like smartphones, and our signal is being projected in from the spirit realm. There actually only is a spirit realm, but this is a virtual reality that we're being projected into. This is why these theories of our existence all being in a virtual reality actually add up very well, and they're always reoccurring, these themes in stories and movies and philosophy. Because it's very natural. It's very natural when you think about it. This theory is actually very naturally fits onto the actual evidence. So we're being projected in by the Paramatma. The Paramatma is like a mobile phone tower which carries our signal into the smartphone. But the Paramatma is still just the God in the material world. God in the material world. And it's serving the living entities. The Paramatma is serving. It's helping us fulfill our material desires. So that expansion of God is actually a servant of the living entities. So he's busy. That he's busy doing work. He's busy serving us, giving us, fulfilling our desires, and also issuing us our karma, which he is very sad about. He's very sad that he actually has to give us good and bad experiences because he doesn't like us to see us suffer. Like just like a parent who has to discipline a child, you feel sad. You know, you just wish your child was well behaved, but they're not, and you have to discipline them, and it hurts. It hurts you to see them hurting, but you have to do it. And so that's the Paramatma. If you want to experience Paramatma realization, as a parent, you can very easily experience. You've manifested this child in the world with your seed. You projected this child into this world, this consciousness. You projected it in. You didn't create it or anything. You just used your body to project another little body fractal, a little fractal to appear, which is as a seed, and then it grows and it produces other fractals. The child grows up and has its own kids. But this is how you can experience Paramatma realization. And this is how it says in the Isha Upanishad, that even though the Supreme Person is formless, he has eyes and legs and hands everywhere and stomach everywhere. And that's us. We are the manifestation of the Paramatma. We are the expansions of the Paramatma. Our consciousness is expanded out of the Paramatma, and then our physical bodies are expansions of our consciousness, of our desires. And this is how the Paramatma affects us through other people. The Paramatma speaks to us and influences us through other people. We are the hands and legs of the Paramatma. You have to remember the Paramatma is non-material. So the way it actually manifests in the world is through material things, through other personalities, including plants and animals. And this is how we get the lessons of life, is from the Paramatma. It's also our memory. Our memory is... to understand our memory, we need to understand the Paramatma as well. So this Paramatma is God in the material world. Not exactly, but God is a servant of the jivas who want to go into the virtual reality. He's not in the material world. He's projecting us in. So he's on the border of the spiritual realm. He's actually temporary in some ways, as in when existence folds back into the spiritual reality, his work is no longer necessary at that time. So he's he folds back into his superior, which is... Oh, Bebe. What happened? Oh, Estelle, let me see. Beso. Oh, did you brush your cheek on here, huh? Let me see. Little bit of a scratch there. Oh, Bebe. Beso, mas besos. Oh, precious. Oh. Yeah, Bapu's running around over there. Yeah, Bapu. He's very happy, eh? The rabbit is very happy bouncing around the yard and not being trapped in there. He's happy, Bapu. Yeah. So even the Paramatma is not the most subtle or the most superior entity. You have from the Paramatma, you have Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu, and then Shankarshan and Balaram, and then Krishna. You know, Krishna is the ultimate. It all stops at Krishna. Krishna is the only one that is self-manifesting. It has to stop at some point. You know, at some point you have to get to the one, the entity that has exploded the whole of existence out of it. And, you know, Krishna is the best version of God, the best way to understand God. I'll tell you why. Because he's the only one who doesn't work. He's the only one that doesn't work. He doesn't have to do anything. You know, you go on this journey, take this journey seriously, what I'm telling you about. And you'll finally get there to Vrindavan, and you'll walk in from behind some trees and you'll see them playing there, and you'll see Krishna will turn and look at you, and you'll look at him and you'll say, like, it's just so amazing, like, all this manifestation is all coming from you, like, how is it even possible? And he's just going to look at you kind of cute and a little bit like a little docile, like a child, like a little confused a little bit, and he's just going to be like, yeah, I know, I don't even know how it happened, it just happened, it's pretty cool, hey, do you want to play, that's it even surprises him, you know, he doesn't care to contemplate his own awesomeness, you know, he's just having a good time with his friends, and that's why he's so special, you know, Krishna is so special, because he's not... If you can get there, you know, if you can develop that desire and that purity, he's not gonna get hung up on formalities. You know, he's just gonna play, and that is the coolest thing. That's the coolest thing, when you can have a relationship with someone who has good qualities, who you can trust, who's not gonna take advantage of you and hurt you, and have a relationship that's informal, and you have fun and you joke around. That's really the life of every living entity, is to find those types of relationships. So Krishna is the center of all those relationships. He's the topmost. There's no one that you can have a more fulfilling relationship with. That is Krishna. And that's why we should go there. If you want that, you should drop the arrogance and go there. Go for it. That's what I'm trying to do. I've gotten some tiny glimpses. I'm not there. I'm not there. I get some tiny glimpses because I do want to get there one day. So that's why some tiny glimpses are revealed. I do want to get there. That is my desire, but I'm gradually working. I still have other desires which I need to test first. I need to like try it out before I'm really sure, you know? So that's it. I encourage you to do that also. Why not? We exist for eternity. Is there anything better to do? Why not? Why not go for the topmost? All the best, Essence Seekers. All the best to you. Hare Krishna. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Radhara Shivasadi Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.